Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to Q4 FY23 post-earnings call of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited. To discuss the results today, we have with us from the management of Kirloskar Oil Engines Limited, Ms. Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director, Mr. Anurag Bagania, CFO, and other senior dignitaries from the top management. I'll hand over the call to Ms. Gauri Kirloskar for her opening remarks, post which we can start the Q&A session. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. This is Gauri Kirloskar, Managing Director of Kirloskar Oil Engines. I would like to thank you all for joining the call today. I have with me Anurag Bagania, CFO, Rahul Sahai, our B2B CEO, Aseem Srivastava, our B2C CEO, Smita Raichurkar, Company Secretary, and Mr. Amit Gupta, CFO at Arka. I will start with an overall business update, and Anurag will update you about the financial performance. A little less than a year ago, we started a journey of 2X, 3Y. We said that KOEL as an organization will grow two times in 3 years. With that strategy in place, we started working on a major business transformation effort. The transition is still a work in progress, and for an organization of our size, it is a 3-4-year process. As is the case with any major business transformation effort, it is complex. It touches every part of our organization, and many a times we have to learn on the go. For an organization that has been in existence as long as KOEL, the change is even more complex and honestly challenging at times. And while we are doing all of this, the leadership team is fully cognizant that we have an existing organization to run, immediate numbers to be delivered, and stakeholder expectations of today to be met while getting ourselves organized for the future. It is a delicate balance that we are trying to strike, and so far we have been pretty successful. The Q4 numbers and the FY 2023 numbers are indicative of both the beginnings of our transformation and also our ability to execute today's business opportunities while keeping a firm eye on the future. I am very pleased to present the Q4 and FY 2023 numbers. We continued our strong performance in Q4. For the quarter, the top line growth standalone was 16% and the full year revenue grew at 25% year-on-year. Across the board, both in the B2B and the B2C businesses, we saw strong growth. Demand in the B2B segment, especially in power gen and industrial engines, continued to remain robust. On the B2C side, our channel expansion strategy played out well. I would not attribute our performance only to the work that we are doing on strategy and execution, but also about a mindset of looking at challenges as opportunities and making full use of the opportunities when presented. Right through the year, we have had challenges around supply chain, but we were able to leverage the domestic supply chain nurtured and built over years to mitigate global supply shocks. We had the opportunity in terms of a stronger than expected order board, but our teams executed well to this challenge. This gives me immense confidence on our 2X3Y strategy and our progress. Now looking at the P&L performance, standalone EBITDA for the quarter was at 99 crores, which is down by 3 crores year on year. This is due to a one-time provision that we have taken as any good corporate citizen would. We have made a provision of 28.1 crores in line with our company policy of providing for aged overdue receivables. We are in active discussions with the customer for recovery of this amount and are reasonably confident we will collect this money. In the case that we are not successful, we have worked out a plan B to recover this money. Despite this one-time impact for the full year, EBITDA is 427 crores at 10.4% margin and is 59% up year on year. This performance is a mix of our efforts on pricing strategy and product cost improvements, product mix as well as volume gain due to strong demand. On overall yearly performance, exports grew around 50% year on year. I consider this good progress and we are hopeful of maintaining our export growth volumes year on year. On the B2B side, we are fully geared up now for the CPCB 4 plus transition that is effective 1st of July. In fact, I'm happy to share that we are the first in the country to receive CPCB 4 plus certification from ARAI on one of our product platforms. On the product side, manufacturing side, and on the channel and aftermarket side, we are progressing as planned, and I'm confident that we will be ready with the right products at the right cost, at the right quality, and all at the right time. At a consolidated level, revenue from operations for the quarter is 1,384 crores, which is 17% growth year-on-year. The full-year revenue from operations is 5,024 crores, a 25% growth year-on-year. At the net profit level, Q4 was at 79 crores, 16% growth year-on-year. Net profit for the full year stood at 332 crores, registering 94% growth year-on-year. This reflects our efforts to improve profitability across all of our business segments. This year, we completed the acquisition of LGM, and it is now 100% subsidiary of Kirloskar Oil Engines. Our LGM business recorded 122 crores of revenue for the quarter and 546 crores for the full year. Our current focus is centered on implementing our leadership and management practices within this organization. And I'm very enthusiastic about the potential for LGM. Aseem and his team have a clear strategy and they are already making steady progress on this front. We have acquired land to consolidate the LGM factories into one optimized unit and our plan is to move into this factory before the end of fiscal year 25. We do expect to see further operational efficiencies with this factory consolidation. Now coming to segmental performance, I wish to draw attention to the increase in profitability in all three segments. The B2B segment saw a margin improvement of over 200 basis points. The B2C segment turned its margins from negative approximately 1% last year to a positive 3%. And the financial services segment also experienced an improvement of approximately 200 basis points in margin. With all the business updates done, I would like to also give an update on our ESG efforts and plan. Last year, we voluntarily presented the BRSR along with our annual accounts. Throughout the year, significant progress has been made in establishing a robust governance structure and implementing a comprehensive policy framework for our ESG initiatives. This demonstrates our commitment to creating value for all our stakeholders. Furthermore, I am pleased to share that our Nasik plant was honored with the first prize for National Energy Conservation Award 2022, organized by the Bureau of Energy Efficiency under the Ministry of Power, Government of India. The award was presented by the Honorable President of India. This recognition signifies our continuous efforts to optimize energy consumption and reduce our environmental impact. We remain committed to our mission to prioritize ESG considerations and contribute to a more sustainable future for our company and society as a whole. To sum it up, I feel very proud of what we have achieved in the last 1 year and it gives me immense confidence as we go into the next year. As part of the 2X3Y strategy, we said that we will work on 5 core pillars, which are our core growth, technology, channel, operations excellence, and people. Work is happening on each of these areas. Some are already showing results and some will over time. Reflecting on the progress we have made on the 5 pillars this year, I feel more assured of our capabilities. Having said that, there is still lots more to be done and my team and I are invested in our strategy and in executing our strategy. With that note, I would like to stop here and hand the call to Anurag for his update on the financials.
Hey, thanks, Gauri. Good evening, everyone. You've heard the business updates. I will run quickly through the financial performance for the quarter and the year. As you see from the numbers, Q4 was another good quarter, I would say. I am happy to report that this is the third quarter in a row where we've actually hit 1,000 crores or plus in terms of revenue from operations. I'm confident we are building a very strong foundation for our journey ahead. Coming to the financial performance, I will start with the standalone performance first and review the Q4 financial year 2023 performance on a standalone basis. Revenue from operations stood at 1,152.6 crores for the quarter four financial year 2023 versus 990 crores for the same quarter last year, which is a 16% increase year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 99.2 crores for the quarter four 2023 versus 102.6 crores for the same quarter last year, which is a 3% decline. EBITDA dropped first time below double digits due to one-timers impact, which Gauri also mentioned in her opening remarks. Profitability and expenses, as you know, includes a one-time cost of 28.1 crores on account of provision for doubtful debts for aged overdue receivables. We are in active discussions with the customers, but as per our consistent policy of good accounting standards, we are providing for this amount. On recovery, this provision will be reversed. EBITDA margins stood at 8.6% for the quarter, and this was 10.4% in the prior year same quarter. Net profit stood at 64.9 crore for the quarter versus 119.6 crore for the same quarter last year. Please note that last year there was also a one-time gain coming out of sale of Arka, our subsidiary's shares, to the tune of 52.6 crores. Cash and cash equivalents was higher than 200 crores, actually 210 crores. Now looking at the full year 2023 financial performance at a standalone level, revenue was 4,116 crores versus 3,300 crores for the prior year, which is a 25% increase year-on-year. EBITDA at 426.9 crores in financial year 2023 versus 268.8 crores for the financial year 2022, which is 59% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margins at 10.4% versus 8.1% last year, and net profit at 270.3 crores versus 208 crores in the last year, which is a 30% year-on-year increase. Here, if we remove the one-time impact of Arka shares, the net profit actually grew 74% year-on-year. Our working capital, which was trending adverse in the first half of the year, has started to show early signs of softening. The increase in demand, the higher volume, had led to significant increase in working capital, almost 162 crores in the first half of the year, FY 2023. In the second half, we've actually seen a 60 crore plus decline from that working capital level. Now looking at the consolidated performance for the quarter, revenue from operations was 1,383 crores for Q4 FY 2023 versus 1,182 crores for the same quarter last year, which is a 17% increase year-on-year. Net profit at 78.9 crores for the quarter versus 67.8 crores for the same quarter last year, which is a 16% increase year-over-year. On a full year basis, revenue from operations stood at 5,023.8 crores versus 4,022 crores the prior year, which is a 25% increase. It's important to note at a consolidated level, we crossed the 5,000 crore mark. Net profit at 331.7 crores for the financial year 2023 versus 170.9 in the prior year, which is a 94% increase year-on-year. As you know from previous quarters, we've adopted new reporting segments for our businesses, B2B, B2C, and the financial services. Accordingly, I will share the financial summary in line with the new reporting segment at a consolidated level. Please also note that the prior year numbers have been adjusted to align to the new reporting changes that we've made. Let us now look at the consolidated segment performance. For our B2B segment, the revenue for the quarter was 1,000 crores, which is a 16% growth year-over-year. The segment PBIT stood at 75.4 crores. For the full year, the revenue was 3,582 crores, a 27% increase year-on-year, with a PBIT of 336.5 crores, which is a 65% growth year-on-year. As I mentioned earlier, these numbers reflect a one-time cost impact of 28.1 crores in our B2B segment, so you will see the effect in the segment margins. Without this one-time impact, the full-year segment PBIT has actually grown 79%. B2C segment revenue for the quarter was 271 crores, which is a 5% growth year-on-year. The segment profit, PBIT, was 11.6 crores, and for the full year, the revenue stood at 1,071 crores with a profit of 29.1 crores. For our B2C business, the highlight for the year is the business turning profitable. We expect to keep the momentum and will continue to look for operational efficiencies to drive further from here. Our financial services segment revenue for the quarter stood at 112.9 crores, reflecting a 76% year-on-year growth. The segment profit stood at 16.6 crores at 14.7% PBT margin. The board of directors in the meeting held today, 19th May 2023, have recommended a final dividend of 2.5 INR, which is 125% per equity share of rupees 2 each for the financial year 22-23, subject to the shareholders' approval. This takes the full year dividend to rupees 5, 250% per share. This reflects 27% dividend payout ratio as a percentage of our net profit, which is in line with the payout ratio that we've had in the last year. As you know well, we are intentionally building cash reserves to allocate towards our strategic priorities in our 2X3Y journey. Overall, as we have moved 1 year ahead in our 2X3Y strategy, I am happy with the growth and the overall financial performance. On that positive note, I would open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions related to the CPCB norms. The first one is, was there any pre-buying sales included in the Q4 numbers? If yes, how much it was? And if not, what is the current status? That is my first question.
Hi, Ashwani. This is Rahul.
Hi, sir.
Hello. So we didn't see, while we are seeing an overall increase in demand, we are not seeing much of pre-buy volumes kicking in just yet. Some of that may come in this quarter. So that's to answer your first question. What is the second part that you asked?
So I was asking what is the current system. I think you have answered both my questions in that.
Yeah.
Secondly, just for understanding, so, once it is implemented, what is the kind of cost impact that you would see in the final product? And how do you see, your power chain margin shaping up post the implementation?
So if you look at our costs, and I've mentioned this in some of the earlier calls, the cost impact will vary by node anywhere between 25% to 40% odd. And as far as our margins are concerned, I can't give a clear picture in this forum, but what I can say is that our margins will likely be somewhat similar.
Similar margin. And finally, on CPCB, you know, this technology, overall, how much capex we would have spent so far?
So we are, over a period of time, investing in building capacity, specifically for CPCB. I think it's anywhere in the range of 100 to 140 crores. We'll give you the exact number while we are on the call.
Okay. Those are my few questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Siddharth Shrikumar from iThought. Please go ahead.
So, Ashwini, I'm ready with the answer. It's between 100 to 120 crores. That's the overall number on the CPCB 4 plus investment so far.
Mr. Siddharth Shrikumar, we have unmuted your line. Please go ahead with your question.
So, I would like to ask you, what is your revenue and margin outlook for the next 3 years?
Hi, Siddharth. So we've actually communicated in our 2X3Y strategy that our revenue target at the end of FY25 is 6,250 crores at a double-digit EBITDA margin.
Okay. Double-digit means, can you give me a ballpark number?
So I can assure you that it will be better than what it is now, but I can't really give you an exact number here. We are focused, and if you look at the strategy that we have articulated, we are focused on increasing the revenue share from the areas where we see higher profitability, which is specifically exports and aftermarket revenue. And this is how we hope to increase our margins.
Okay. So another general question, like in your experience, what is the demand scenario in rural India and in urban India? If you can give that bifurcation. Compared to, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, how is the demand scenario right now?
So this is Aseem here, Shrikumar. From B2C. If you see on the rural side, last year was one of the most challenging year because of rains also, and also because of a lot of initiatives from the government side on the water and stringent compliances. So we feel this is the direction, and rural demand for next few years will remain challenging. In urban, if you see, because of infrastructure development, we believe the demand will be better and it will be increasing.
So one more last question is that will the, you know, diesel or petrol driven power generators, will they be replaced eventually by renewable or natural gas related generators? Is there a threat of disruption?
Hi, this is Rahul. So what I can say is that there is a fuel transition taking place, and it will happen slowly. It will depend on the application, on what kind of energy source it goes into. But what we will see is over the next maybe 5-8 years, natural gas will become a transition fuel, and then there will be other fuel sources that will come into the mix. There are certain segments where electrification will come into the picture, such as railways. But a lot of these things will happen over a period of time. So what we are confident about is internal combustion will remain, and Kirloskar Oil Engines is going to continue to focus on internal combustion.
Mr. Kumar. Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Jeetu Punjabi from EM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Gauri. Great numbers. I think the 28 crores write-off would put the numbers in perspective. Two questions. One, can you talk to us a little bit about what's happening on the export side? What are the conversations? What are the trends you see over the next 12 to 18 months in the context, especially of the weakness you're seeing in Europe? And the second question is on the raw material side, we've been seeing softness. So does that mean it translates into expanding margins for the next quarter or two, at least before the transition plays out?
Hi, Jeetu. Thanks. Great questions. I will let Rahul and Aseem comment on the exports that they are seeing specifically in the B2B and the B2C businesses. And we will answer the question on raw materials. Go
ahead. Hi, Jeetu. This is Rahul. So what we are seeing on the export side as well, there is significant demand. In fact, there is, even as we speak, there is a significant pending order board that we are trying to execute. Especially if you look at markets such as Middle East, Africa, which are Southeast Asia, which are some of the markets where we have larger strength in. If you look at the European and the American markets, there is a lot more compliance and certification requirements. So our presence there is limited as of now. So on the B2B side, that is my response on exports. On the raw material side, while we have seen certain commodities softening, a large content also is of proprietary parts. So we haven't seen a significant change or reduction in our costing levels. And whatever we are seeing softening of, in cases we are passing on the benefits to our customers, if we, there are opportunities to do value engineering, then we are expanding our margins with that. With that, I'll hand over to Aseem.
Yeah, thanks, Rahul. So on B2C side, if you see this year, both on farm mechanization and pump business, we have done much better than last year with better margin. And this has happened because of our very simple strategy of deepening and widening, where we are going into new countries. Same thing will continue this year also, and we feel that B2C export business contribution of overall sales will further increase this year. On the commodity side, I think we now have a very good system in B2C where we have passed on the inflation to the customer. We'll continue with that. The softening will have very little effect overall to the market. We have other ways by which we are increasing margins.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. Good wishes.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Charanjit Singh from DSP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for this opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. See, first question is on the high kV genset. In terms of, you know, how we are doing on the high kV nodes and in the specific markets like data centers and all, you know, how we are scaling up. That's what my first question is. Yeah.
Hi, this is Rahul. So what we have begun to do is we have begun to execute orders with data centers, and we have completed a few projects with them, because as you are aware, our range today expands right up to 1500 kVA. In parallel, there are some programs that we are undertaking to expand this, but we are already seeing opportunities with data centers, and we are focusing on the execution there.
Okay. So if we look at, you know, from the overall exports perspective, you know, there's a strong opportunity which is emerging, you know, which has been discussed by other players also. So is there a, you know, kind of a targeted number what we want to have as a percentage of sales exports? And also the margin profile for exports, how is that versus the domestic business?
On the B2B side, our target is to get exports or the international business to about 30% contribution to revenue. The margin profile will be significantly healthier than what our current domestic margins are at.
Yes. On B2C also we have the same target of 30%, and then B2C also our margins are much better than the domestic.
Okay. If you look at now this CPCB transition, there's definitely going to be a price hike. What's the kind of, you know, quantum of price hike which we are looking at in terms of the manufacturing of, you know, old rating products? You know, how is that, you know, going to happen and, you know, by how is that, you know, demand looking like in terms of the pre-buy? If you can just touch upon, you know, from a quarterly perspective, how you're looking at the transition from the, you know, old rating to new rating, price hike, all those aspects.
Yeah, sure. If you look at the price increases, what we have already passed on is about a 3% price increase last month. We will be watching this very closely because each player will come up with their own pricing strategy for this. I have given an indication of the cost impact we are likely to see. We are currently formulating our pricing strategy, and we're gonna be watching this one very closely. I may not be able to talk about our pricing strategy going forward for this year.
Okay. If I may just squeeze in one more question. We have this large engines business where nuclear used to be a larger part of the overall, you know, and lumpy orders. Nuclear is kind of making a comeback now in the Indian market. You know, that's what government sources are talking about. Any thoughts like how this large engine business can grow for us? Any outlook you can give for the new orders?
If you look at now what we call that business is industrial business, but what you're referring to as large engines, we are seeing demand from nuclear power corporation and the likes of these kind of customers, so the demand is certainly there. What we have is with the K4300 platform and the development we are doing, we will have our, you know, large engine platforms that are being manufactured out of our Nashik plant. We are quite bullish about that.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for taking the questions and all the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Sandeep Tulsiyan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good evening. My first question is pertaining to the power gen segment. As a year, we've seen 20% growth in value terms. So two parts here. One is if you could broadly share what was the volume growth and a factor of price increase plus product mix improvement over here. And secondly, also if you could contrast this 20% growth number with the industry growth, how that has been and how our market shares have moved across different nodes in power gen, if you could give some perspective on that.
Sure. Thanks for that question. See, if you look at the overall industry, the overall industry has roughly grown, and I'm removing the telecom volumes for now, at roughly around 9.8%. If you look at our volume growth, is at about quarter-on-quarter about 12.4%. We are actually gaining market share from some of our key competitors. From a volume standpoint, that is significant. If you look at the mix, we are seeing significant traction in our range between 250-750 kVA. There's a lot of growth happening there. In fact, if you look at the recent Frost & Sullivan report, you'll see that there is a lot of traction on the 750 kVA node from Kirloskar Oil Engines. What we were talking earlier about getting into high horsepower, we are actually there.
Got it. This is quarter-on-quarter. Essentially you have shared the numbers for fourth quarter. If you could also give us perspective from the year as a whole and also market shares, if you could share across some of the key moves that could give us some perspective into it.
Yeah. So if you look at our volume growth in power gen, it's 10% year on year. And if I look at the overall market, we have definitely grown faster than the market.
And what would have been the industry growth in volume terms for last financial year?
For the last financial year?
Yeah, 10% is volume growth for OEL. So yeah. What would this number be for the industry?
I don't have that number off, you know, off the cuff. I can check and let you know.
And in terms of market share, if you could give us some perspective where our total market share is and how that is spread across different nodes.
So our market share overall by volume would be about 30%. So by volume, we're the largest player in the genset market. And we dominate specifically in the range of 320 and 250 below. So that is where bulk of our volumes are from. Over a period of time, we've been gaining traction on nodes beyond 320 kVA as well.
Got it. Another question is on some of the...
On your earlier question, while, you know, we don't have the exact market share numbers last year, but what I want you to consider as an alternate is compare the competitive performance of our peer group companies. Two out of the three published quarters of the last year, we've actually grown faster than the rest.
Understood. Understood. And that definitely helps. I was just wanting to get a perspective of essentially the gaining share other than the other largest listed peer. What is essentially happening on the fringe company side? Are we marginalizing the smaller guys or how is the entire competitive scenario shaping up is what I wanted to understand.
See, what we're noticing is that with stricter emission norms coming in, technology becomes a big play. And only the serious competitors or serious companies who are interested to remain in the genset market will likely remain, because the CPCB 4 plus emission norm is actually a very aggressive emissions norm. It's very close to Euro Stage 5. So what we envisage is over a period of time, the players that are not as serious or were essentially buying engines from somewhere, assembling and you know, playing the role of an assembler rather than focusing on research, they may have complexities in dealing with some of these emission changes.
Understood. Another question is on the new product initiatives that we had put in place in the last few years in areas of motors as well as some of the expansion of farm mechanization product range. If you could just provide a perspective on that, where are we in terms of this new product development? And you know, when we talk about this 2X, 3X strategy, how much are we building at least in the next 2 years to come from this? And how much are we looking at from a longer term perspective where the size of these businesses could be?
So, see, some of these businesses are incubation businesses. So, for example, in motors, we are first focusing on stabilizing that business. But if you look at the last 2 quarters, all our focus has been on product development to deal with emissions and the fuel transition. So we are focusing very heavily on our core products at this moment.
Understood. And on one point which the earlier participant asked on the data centers front, you said the existing product range is up to 1500 kVA. But in the past, we have mentioned comments that the demand is, of course, in a much higher range. And since we don't want to miss out on this, we will be partnering with some of the guys to provide those solutions in the interim while we develop those solutions in-house. So where are we in that journey? If you could just update on that as well.
So if you look at the platform that we have, K4300, we can further develop that platform to get into even higher ranges than 1500 kVA. So the architecture is modular. Power cylinder designs remain the same.
So up to what range can we provide the output? About 1500 kV over here. And then it will be multiples of 1500 kV, is it?
So the way to look at it is the K4300 currently is a 12-cylinder engine that can be extended up to 20 cylinders. And so there's 16 and 20, and you can go up to 3000.
Okay, understood. That's it from my side, and thank you for taking this question.
I just wanted to add something because, you know, you mentioned the partnering. We generally are following the strategy of build, buy, or borrow, where we evaluate the time, cost, and effort it would take to develop it ourselves or buy the technology or partner with someone. And we will continuously do that. And, you know, if we have a relevant update in that regard, we will disclose it when there is a development. So that's what I wanted to say on your question. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for taking these questions.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a next question from the line of Sanjaya Satapathy from Ampersand Capital Investment Advisors, LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. My first question is that, can you please tell us what percentage of our revenue will be impacted by this CPCB norm change?
So if you look at our product range, close to about 46% of our business is our power generation business. Now, most of that comes under the CPCB 4 plus. Our range is currently 800 kilowatt and below. I'm saying most because we have the K4300 platforms as well. So only they will be excluded, but that is a very small portion of the revenue today. So that's close to about 45-46%. And if you look at industrial applications like power car and current defense genset, those may be impacted as well over a period of time. So what I would say is eventually roughly around 55% of our business will be impacted by CPCB 4 plus emissions change.
Understood. And so considering such a huge price increase that is likely to happen and the emission change is just about a month or away from now, why is it that the pre-buying isn't happening as much as it would have happened in the previous such instances?
See, if you look at it from an end customer standpoint, CPCB has given relaxation that the customer can buy a CPCB 2 product until 31st December. The mandate to manufacturers is that we can't ship out beyond end of June. So from 1st July, we have to start manufacturing CPCB 4 plus compliant products. So the customer can buy from our GOEMs. So there is that facet which you need to consider. Having said that, in this quarter, we are seeing, in this coming quarter, I mean right now, we are seeing some signs.
Understood. And is it your parts shortage or something which is restraining to meet that upsurge in demand for CPCB norm? And how big the inventory buildup is happening at your own channel partner level?
I may not be able to answer a lot of these questions because they're leading. All I can say is that we are pretty geared up for it.
So basic purpose of asking this question is that how big the disruption will be post-implementation of the norm for your sales and profitability and all your plan for fiscal 25, this emission change, because in the past we have seen that it has been fairly disruptive.
So for sure, some of these emission changes are, you know, fairly aggressive. But when you're talking about disruption, what specifically are you referring to?
I mean, your numbers probably will go down when after the pre-buy gets over, and to meet the new norm, it typically takes time. And also, the price being so high, the customers may not really come forward to buy for a fairly long time. So those kind of aspects, I'm just trying to understand how will that play out this time around.
I think some of these standard demand cycles will play out. So, I mean, if you look at the automotive or commercial vehicle industries, some of these things are fairly standard.
Understood. Thanks, Lord, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Amit Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Just wanted to ask, firstly, on the B2B side of the business, our industrial segment for entire FY23 has registered a very strong growth of 22%. But when I look at the fourth quarter number, the growth has been, sort of a mid-single digit. So what is leading to this particular slowdown? Is it more of a one-quarter phenomena, or do we see some sort of slowdown in this particular segment? If you can throw highlight some insight on this particular thing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So actually what has happened is last year's Q4 was abnormally high for us. What we have seen is significant growth in our industrial segment even this year. So it's not that this quarter was particularly poor. Last time we had high execution in billing in Q4, same time last year. So I mean, on the industrial side, actually we see a very positive outlook going forward.
And sir, which are the areas do we see a similar sort of growth continuing into FY24 that we have witnessed in FY23, and which areas can contribute to such a strong growth? If you can just highlight on this particular thing.
So if I look at on the industrial side, there are a lot of places where today we have products that could be used for those applications but are not being used. And so we see a lot of white spaces there. So that's the first opportunity that we have. The other opportunity is with the emissions change, there is significant traction because the product becomes more complex and proprietary. So we are expecting to see higher growth in the aftermarket as well. And lastly, if I look at international markets opening up as a result of this emissions change, Kirloskar Oil Engines has largely developed products for the Indian market. So with the CPCB 4 Plus coming in, we are now very close to Euro Stage 5. So there will be new markets that open up for us, which we can aggressively go after. Of course, in many cases, it will require certifications.
Export has been at this point of time contributing 12% of the overall revenue, and we have been targeting 30-odd%. Which countries do we believe can contribute such a significant growth? Which are the countries that we are targeting, and which segments can contribute such significant growth for us, if you can just highlight? And as you rightly pointed out, that a few of the product categories will be requiring certification. So how long does a certification take, and when can the product portfolio be available to the new countries that we are targeting?
Right. So I will first talk about portfolio expansion, because right now the full scope of our portfolio and our plans on the product expansion are not going into international markets. So as we stabilize some of these products, larger scope of our product portfolio will start going into our traditional strongholds of Africa, Middle East, and Southeast Asia. So one is proliferation of products which we may be selling in India, but we haven't opened them up to international markets. So that's number one. Number two is we are looking at our channel structure globally as well. So we are going to be looking at very closely what kind of partners would help us win in which kind of markets. And we are seeing demand coming in from Middle East as well. Of course, the channel partners, we will need to engage with them and transact in a tax efficient manner, because there are local duties and laws that we will need to work with. So that's number two. So number one was our full product range. Number two was looking at our channel structure. And number three is entering markets where we've traditionally not entered in. So if you look at our presence in US, if you look at our presence in Europe or Australia, it's been very limited. So that's the number three that we'll be focusing on, figuring out what is the appropriate entry strategy there. If you look at US, for example, it requires EPA and CARB certifications, and each of those certifications can take up to 1.5-2 years. So some of our products are actually EPA certified, and we are shipping some products to the US right now. But over a period of time, we want to expand that presence as well. I hope that answers the question.
Sure, sir. One more thing on the export opportunity side, do we also consider white labeling for the dominant brands which are present in the countries, or, you know, will like to address the opportunity individually or independently? So what is our thought process over there, if you can just, you know, guide us on that?
So traditionally, if you look at white labeling, it's not a very profitable, business strategy. So while we are open to evaluating all options, but white labeling is something that we haven't been looking at very seriously, at least over the last 6 months.
Sure. And on the power gen side, sir, even in this particular quarter, very strong growth. Which are the segments end markets basically, which is witnessing or gaining such strong traction to us? And whether there is any market share gain in the power gen segment, if you can highlight that. So that will be my last question. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, if you look at the last quarter, there is a lot of demand coming in from segments like telecom, infrastructure, healthcare. So those would be the big ones.
Any market share gain, sir, in this particular segment?
So overall, we've gained about 1.5% market share last quarter. I can't necessarily speak about some of these segments within that.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Chandramouli Jagannathan from Patterson Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes,
we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
We can
yes.
hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, sir. How, when I look at the Orca FinCap segment-wise profitability, it's got beaten up like anything compared to the last quarter and overall. How is it shaping up overall, and what is the future lay ahead for Orca? Hello?
Amit, are you on the line?
Yeah, ma'am, I'm there on the line.
Okay, please take the question.
Sure. So just to answer your question, you're comparing the Q4 along with the Q3 number. The Q4 number have been basically little bit down because the disbursement has happened mainly on the fag end of the quarter. You will appreciate that even in the Q4, the March being the busiest quarter, so the AUM growth has come in the fag end of the quarter. That is why the income part is also a little bit lower as compared to the Q3 on an overall basis. And further, there we have created certain provisions there also on a standard assets basis. That is why the profit is coming down. But if you see the overall profitability of the financial year, it is much ahead as compared to the previous year itself.
And what about the future guidance? Can you give me something for that?
Sorry.
Future guidance, how is it shaping up?
So as a company per se, it is shaping up very well. What we have been committed towards it, building it across the three different business segments, our commitment and focus is totally towards it. We have been opening new branches as well. Currently, as on 31st March, we were operating from a 14-15 branches. This quarter, we are opening up new branches itself. The retail plus MSME AUM, if you see as on 31st March 2023, has grown up to 29%, which have been the growth journey in the near future as well. So we are adequately capitalized. There have been a decent borrowing. There have been a decent liquidity into the company. Year on year, the profitability of a company is strong. And we don't see any hills in the portfolio quality as well.
Thank you, sir. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your interest in the company and for your participation on this call. Thank you.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.